If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 1. It was a little over a year ago, back in June of last year, in my personal quiet time, I began to read through the book of Proverbs. And if you've been part of our church for very long, I hope that you have caught on to the significance of and the importance of reading the Bible on a regular basis. And I hope you also realize that as a person who's endeavored to do that, that I don't do it perfectly and I don't pretend to do it perfectly and I miss more days than I'd like you to know about. But I hope that that is a value that when my time in this church is done, will be planted in your lives and your hearts. And as one who believes in the importance of that, I decided, I'm not really sure why, but decided that I hadn't read through Proverbs in a while. And rather than take it the way that I had often read through Proverbs, like in a month, where you read a whole chapter in a month, I decided that I'd just read a few verses every day. And some days I'd read more than others, but as I read them and sorted through them, I'd try to apply them in my life. And so that was my involvement this past year in the book of Proverbs. And as you know, in July of last year, my dad died. And I mention that in connection with Proverbs because when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, my dad wanted to teach me the book of Proverbs. And we didn't sit down with a curriculum or with a study guide, but every now and then, we didn't even have like regular set times when we would talk about Proverbs, but he would sit down with me and we'd just talk about the Proverbs, and he'd mention different aspects of the Proverbs to me. And so I associate this book a great deal with my father. And as I was reading through Proverbs, I found myself hearing my dad's voice as I was reading through it. Not in a spooky way, but just hearing things he would say. Like for example, listen to these words at the beginning of chapter 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and the beginning and come to knowledge and understanding. I read that and it seemed to me that I was hearing my dad's voice from heaven itself. And I tell you that because I want you to know that I have a bias for this book. And it's a bias that I think I can trace back to my father. But I also tell you that because I know that not everybody shares that feeling about the book of Proverbs. Sue and I had lunch last week with a woman who doesn't go to our church, a dear Christian sister. And she was telling us that in her church, her pastor had recently preached a sermon from the book of Proverbs. And her nonverbal communication said to me, why would anybody preach a sermon from the book of Proverbs? And I realized that sitting across the table from me was somebody who didn't share my love for this book. And so I realized that some of you are here and you think this is a great book, and some of you are here and you think, you know, that's just something that I don't understand, I'm not all that interested, and some of you are somewhere in between. But if you take the time just to read the opening verses of Proverbs and understand them, I think you'll recognize that this is a book that we all need. A book that has a lot to contribute to your life and to my life and to our world. And so as we are going to spend a few weeks the end of the summer looking at some of the Proverbs. It's not going to be any sort of an exhaustive study at all. But I want to try to encourage you with why this book is worth your while to read, why it's worth our while to spend some time with it as a congregation on Sunday mornings. And particularly if you're a teenager or a college age person, this book really was written for you in mind. I mean, it's written, as you'll see today, it's written for all of us. But if it had a target audience, it would be those of you who are teenagers and those of you who are in your early 20s. And so hopefully as we study it, whatever you're thinking about it, I hope you'll listen with an open mind to see why this is a book that's worth your time today. You can kind of say that what I want to tell you today is why we should study Proverbs. And I think that's really what the first five verses of this book are all about. In fact, as you look at it, let me just read these verses to you and then just explain kind of the broad place we're going. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. As you look at those first five verses, you'll see that, at least in the New International Version, verses 2, 3, and 4, and also verse 6, which we didn't read, all begin with the word for. Some translations might have in order to. The writer, Solomon, is giving us the value, what these proverbs can do and what a study of these proverbs can do for you wherever you're at. So it is, as we look through this, each of these verses tell us something about why this book has value for each of us this morning. The first reason why we should study Proverbs is really found in the opening verse. It doesn't start with a four, but I think that as Solomon introduces the book, he is telling us something that's very important. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Now, if you want to learn something, let's say you want to be a football coach as we're at near the start of the football season. What's the best way to learn how to be a football coach? Probably to find somebody who's a football coach and learn from him or her, I guess. Now, honestly, you know as well as I do that not all football coaches are equally good. Some go undefeated and some can't win a game. So it's more than just learning from a football coach. You want to learn from a good football coach. So if we were deciding which football coach we wanted to learn from, one of the people we might choose is, is Nick Saban. Now, I don't know what you think about Nick Saban as a person, but as a football coach, it's hard to argue with his qualifications. He's the coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, one of the most winning coaches in college history, and his insights into football are pretty amazing. Even this insight is one that goes beyond football. He says, what happened yesterday is history. What happens tomorrow is a mystery. What we do today makes a difference. Now, that's a significant statement, especially for a coach who has won a great deal in the past. He's saying the past doesn't determine the future. It's what we do today. That's good advice from an experienced coach. And if you want to be a good football coach, if you could get your tutelage from Nick Saban, you'd be doing pretty well. Of course, some of you are more professional football coaches, and I think without question, if you wanted to get advice, no matter what you think of the team, if you wanted to get advice from a good coach, you'd probably go to Bill Belichick. He has been to more Super Bowls than anybody else, and he knows how to get the most out of his players. In fact, this statement really strikes me as a good quote from him. Talent sets the floor, character sets the ceiling, because year after year, it almost doesn't matter who his team is, he somehow manages to get excellence out of whoever's on the team. The point is not to teach you about football, but to say if you want to learn, you want to learn from an expert. And if you want to learn how to live life well and how to live life wisely, you want to talk to somebody who knows how that's done. And so when this book begins, the Proverbs of Solomon, and it doesn't say anything more, I think there's a reason for that. He's one of those people that all you need is Solomon, and you think, oh, he's a very wise man. I mean, we have in English, Solomonic wisdom, just speaking of somebody who is profoundly wise. And if you know much at all about the Old Testament, you have certainly heard of how wise Solomon was. The wisest man of his day, one of the wisest people who ever lived. And so if you want to learn about how to live life well and wisely, Solomon's our guy. But it's interesting that he doesn't just stop there. In fact, it's interesting to me that he doesn't say Solomon, king of Israel, because he was king. He says Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. I think the reason for that is because, yes, Solomon was king, but what he was best known for was his extreme wisdom. And he was also the son of the greatest king in Israel's history. So he doesn't claim to be king here, even though he was king, because probably his whole life, in terms of his leadership and his military might and all that, he was second fiddle to his dad. When it came to wisdom, he was head and shoulders above everyone. But what his father had was he was able to rally the people and to build the nation. And so Solomon learned not only from his own wisdom, but he learned from his father. The point is, first reason why this book is worth reading is because if you want to learn from an expert, you got to know somebody who knows how to do it. And Solomon, by virtue of his wisdom, by virtue of his upbringing, he had more qualification to do that than anybody else. So at the very outset, it makes sense that we would go to someone as qualified as Solomon to help us. But there's a second reason why this book is important, and this is a crucial reason if we want to understand how to live life skillfully. Verse 2 tells us, this book is for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. There are three different tools, I guess you could say, that this book will equip you with. And the most important one is this first one, this word, this thing called wisdom. If you've heard me talk about the Proverbs before, one of the things that I learned from my dad years ago was this word for wisdom in Hebrew is the Hebrew word chokmah. It transliterated H-O-K-M-A from Hebrew, chokmah. And it doesn't matter that you know the Hebrew word, except that this word is used for more than just wisdom. This is a word that was used in the Old Testament for people who did things with great skill. For example, it was used in 1 Kings 9 of the people who worked with bronze. And they had these men, I think it's Haman or Human. Anyway, he was said to be a skillful craftsman. And the word that is used is the same word, chokmah. He did what he did with great skill. It was used of sailors in Psalm 107 who as they navigated the oceans and had to know the ways of the oceans and understand the winds, they had a skill for sailing. It was used of the people that Moses appointed as administrators to help him lead the people, because they had a skill for administration in Deuteronomy chapter 1. The point is, when this word is used elsewhere in the Bible, it's not strictly used only for wisdom. It's really speaking of a skill, an ability to do something well. But in the context of Proverbs, it's talking about a skill for living. And I love that picture, because there's so many times when I just feel like, boy, I just wish I had a better way to handle life. And if you want to know how to handle life well, this is a book that promises to give you a skill for living. That's what this wisdom is all about. And Solomon says, you spend some time in this book, you'll become more skillful at how you handle life. And no matter where you're at, all of us, whether you're a teenager or whether you're a middle-ager or wherever you're at, all of us can benefit from handling life better. He also says that it is for acquiring discipline or instruction. Now, the word, the NIV translates it discipline. Some of your translations have instruction. And both are appropriate. This is an instruction that teaches. It's an instruction that has with it a certain accountability. So when it's used of parents, they instruct their children. Sometimes it's associated with the rod of discipline, that punishment and consequences are sometimes necessary to impress upon our children what's most important. This instruction is something that is more than encouraged, it is almost enforced. And any of us who have been children know that there are times when what we want and what our parents want are not the same thing. And sometimes that creates major tensions. But at least in the context of Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs says that we are wise when we listen to the instruction of those who've lived longer than we have. And when they instruct us and they have consequences for their instruction, we're doubly wise, not only because of what they're teaching, but because there are consequences. So this is an instruction that is kind of an enforced instruction. And it is associated with chastisement and with rebuke, because sometimes we need that to learn. A third word that is a tool here is it gives us insight. Understanding words of insight. This really has the idea of that aha experience, you know, where you're thinking about something and it doesn't really make sense, and then as you kind of sort it through in your mind, you think, oh, that's what he's talking about. And it's really the first step in putting this truth into practice. And while Solomon doesn't say this here, it seems to me that this is saying that this truth, this skill for living that is encouraged and enforced by this instruction and this discipline, is ultimately meant to shape our thinking and be put into work in our lives. So while this isn't directly talking about application, I think it's safe to say that it is to understand so as to put it to use in our lives. And one clear example of that is Solomon himself. Because for all of his wisdom and for everything he says to us in his book, if you know Solomon's history, you know that at the end of his life, he didn't always practice what he preached. And as a result, we're told that at the end of his life, he was less vibrant for God than he was at the beginning of his life. So knowing it and putting it into practice are not the same thing, but you're not really as wise as you might think if you just know it. It's supposed to be known and put to work. Otherwise, you're just a smart person, but you can be a really dumb, smart person. And Solomon understood that, even though he demonstrated that as well. So the second reason why this book is worth studying is because it gives us tools to live life skillfully. So if you want to live well, this is a book that as you read it, as you study, as you spend time in it, you'll learn how to be more skillful at life. And no matter where you're at, no matter what you're good at, we can always sharpen and hone our skills. Third reason why this book is good, it's great for you who are parents. It's great for you who are kids. Now, I came across this statement, and I kind of like it. Wisdom, how do I stop making dumb decisions? You know, this wisdom is not just about how to stop making dumb decisions. It's how to never start making dumb decisions. Unfortunately, it depends on where you're at in life as to which of those applies. A great parent tries to help you when you're younger not start making dumb decisions. I am living proof that I was capable of making dumb decisions without the help of my parents, and some of their efforts to intervene didn't always work. But this has value for those of you who are on the learning end, as well as those of you who are on the teaching end. And that's, you can see that in the words that are used here. Verse 3, for acquiring. That's really learning. Acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. Doing what is right and just and fair. Verse 4, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So it starts out by saying there is value to this in those of you who are teenagers, those of you who are still children, those of you who are growing up. This book gives substance to how you can live well and how you can live wisely. And I can tell you as a pastor, as a father, as somebody who's in middle age, that you can save yourself a great deal of grief if you're younger just to give your parents the benefit of the doubt when you get to those places where you find yourself really bumping heads with them. I'm not saying your parents are always right, but I am saying if you give them the benefit of the doubt, you'll probably save yourself a lot of grief. In fact, I can tell you from my own teenage days that quite frequently my disagreements with my parents weren't because I really thought they were wrong, just because I wanted to do my own thing. But this book warns us, as you'll see if you read through it, that if you do your own thing, you will learn. But you'll learn the hard way. In the bell post that I sent out this week, kind of as a preface to this study, I told the story of the law of the sign. And you have a choice when you're driving down the road. And those of you that read this know, you're driving down the mountain road and you see this sign that says, dangerous curve, 25 miles an hour. Now you may decide that I'm a pretty good driver. I mean, my skill set is far better than my parents' skill set. And I have a good car, so I'm going to take this at 55 miles an hour. Well, that sign was put there because of the wisdom of and bad experiences of previous drivers. So you have a choice when you see that sign. You can learn and go on living, or you can just live it up and experience the consequences. And you may decide you're a better driver than that sign, and you may be right. You may be wrong. But Proverbs says you can either learn and live, or you can live and learn things the hard way. So as a child, as a student, as a young person, if you want to learn, you can either learn it the easy way or the hard way. And Proverbs says, listen to what Proverbs has to say. so that you can avoid some of that tragedy and difficulty in your life. That's acquiring this this disciplined and prudent life. The word prudent really has the idea of cunning. The picture, whether you realize this or not, if you're younger, and this can be true, you can be older and still be pretty simple-minded. But the picture of childhood, and this the word that's used for a child in the book of Proverbs really extends from anybody from like 4 or 5 years old up to about 19 years old, and sometimes it's even used of people older than that. So it's not really talking specifically about an age, but it's talking about a mindset. And it's a mindset that is naive or gullible or sometimes simple. And the idea of that is, until you've lived life a little bit, you're more likely to have to learn the hard way, unless you take the word of somebody else. Solomon, your parents, your pastor. You can choose how you want to learn, but if you want to acquire a life that is prudent, that avoids some of the drama that can happen when you don't, you can live and learn. But Proverbs would say you're better off to learn and live well. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. That's the second element. After you've acquired, those of you who are children, young people, this could also apply to a student and a teacher, but in the context of Proverbs, it's really a parent giving advice to his son. And it could be a mother giving advice to her daughter or her son as well. But anyway, it applies, starts there, and it extends to those of us who are parents. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. How do you go about that? If you're a parent, that is a challenging question. How do you impress upon your children what is right? How do you do that when they're 5? How do you do that when they're 10? How do you do that when they're 15? This book doesn't give you all of those answers, but it gives you some of the big answers. And if you want to learn how to be a more skillful parent, there's instruction about parenting in this book and how to help your kids learn without pushing them away. So, for parents, for kids, for students, for teachers, this book has a lot to say, and that's another reason we should study it. It helps the parent give directions to their children to help them live well. Then there's a final reason that these verses give us that make this worth your while and my while to spend some time in. Verse 5 says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." What do these two couples have in common? Well, the truth is, we don't know. They may share a great deal in common. The one thing that's apparent when we look at the pictures is they both have a few miles on the treads. They've gone down the road a little bit. And hopefully, in that process, they've gained a little bit of wisdom. Now, you can be old and dumb, but most of the time, when you get old, you acquire at least some wisdom. And if we give them credit for having some wisdom, there's never a place in your life, no matter how old you are, where you can't learn some more. In fact, the truth is, the wiser you are, the more you realize how much you need to learn. And so the really wise people don't think, you know, I know that already. I took that course. I've arrived. Once you start thinking that way, you're thinking like the fool in Proverbs. You're not open to learning. But if you've learned a few things along the way, you've learned that there's reason to learn more. And so for those who are wise, they can add to their wisdom. So wherever you're at, while this book is focused on a wise parent instructing her daughter or son, or father instructing his son, you're never too old to learn, to gain God's wisdom. So the final reason here is that we can study this book is it has the opportunity to add to the wisdom of those of us who have experienced a little bit of life. So having said that, I just want to mention a couple things before we're done, because I want to encourage you that these reasons that we've talked about are why this book has value no matter who you are or where you're at. It was written by an expert. It was given to give us skills for living. It has value whether you're growing up or whether you're grown up. And even if you know an awful lot, there's plenty more that we can learn. So if you want to get the most out of this book, let me just mention two things. If you've heard me teach on Proverbs before, you're familiar with these, but if you don't know them, they're important to know. The first one, this is not here. The first one is that the Proverbs are Hebrew poetry. And by Hebrew poetry, when you think of English poetry rhymes words. Two roads diverged on a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as long as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. There are certain words that, obviously, the way I quoted that, speak to the rhyme of Robert Frost's poem. In Hebrew, the Hebrew poets rhyme thoughts. It's one of the things in God's providence is rather interesting that God saw to it that the wisdom literature was written in Hebrew, because it translates well. It's not a rhyming of words, but a rhyming of thoughts. So as you read through the Proverbs, you can compare one line to the other. Sometimes it's a couple lines to the next couple lines, but the way you sort out what the proverb is about is by saying, okay, is this first line saying the same thing as the second line? Is it contrasting to the second line? Is it adding to it? And as you try to think that through and see the comparison, you begin to ferret out what the wisdom is. So the first thing you need to know about Hebrew poetry and the Proverbs is understand that as Hebrew poetry, it is a rhyming of thoughts. And to try to understand it, you have to just ask yourself, what's the connection of one line to the next? The second only other thing that I would want to say is that the Proverbs are meant to be memorized. They're meant to kind of fill our minds so that we'll muse over them and think about them. Some of them even are deliberately vague so that we'll think, what was Solomon or one of the others? Solomon wasn't the only writer of Proverbs, as you'll see as you read through the book. There are other sayings of the wise, and a couple, Lemuel and Agur, are mentioned as contributing, but these are mainly Solomon's words. And the question you ask is, why was that said? And if you find yourself thinking about it, you'll find there's more to it. Let me just give you two examples. We're going to look at one of these later on in our study, but in chapter 26... This is one we're going to look at. As the dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. Not hard to memorize. I mean, it's a very vivid, kind of disgusting picture. Or later on, in I think it's verse 14 of chapter 26, it says, as a door turns on its hinges, so the sluggard turns in his bed. Again, not that hard to memorize, and some of the Proverbs are extremely easy because the picture is so vivid for us. But I can tell you, over the course of my life, There have been times when I've been laying in my bed later than I should on some morning, and I'll think, as a door on its hinges, and I think that's part of what the Proverbs are supposed to do. They're to stick in our minds. So sometimes they just stick there whether you want them to or not, but sometimes you need to take the time and make the time to memorize them and to reflect on them. So as you study the Proverbs, allow yourself to find ones that grab you and give yourself the luxury of just spending time with those and memorizing them and reflecting on them. And I hope we're going to be covering this book we're going to spend like 4 or 5 weeks is all we're going to be doing. So we're not going to do a lot with the book. But if you started reading back on Wednesday when I sent out my bell post, you can actually read through Proverbs in a month. But I'd actually encourage you not to do it that way. You can do that. But at least for me, this last year, as I spent time in Proverbs, I decided not to do it just trying to cover territory. I just thought, I'm going to read as much as I need to read to find something that I need to learn. And so these are three things that I did this year that made my personal time in Proverbs beneficial for me. The first was I read through the book with pen and paper. I'd encourage that. I'm not suggesting that you have to write lots of notes. But there are a couple things that I found myself doing as I read through the Proverbs. Sometimes I'd just say, what in the world is going on? And I'd try to ask as I compared one line to another, what's Solomon or what's the writer doing here? And just to try to synthesize what was going on in my mind to understand it, having pen and paper was helpful. And there were times when I understood it and I just thought, I really want to memorize that proverb. So then I wrote the proverb out with my notes. I actually kept a notebook, so I have it handy and can refer back to it. But however you do it, I'd encourage you to use a pen and paper as you read through Proverbs. And again, I'd say if you're going to take this on in the next few weeks, don't feel under pressure to get through the whole book, but just decide to read until you get to something that kind of grabs you. Something that maybe it makes you scratch your head and you think, I don't know what that's about. Maybe it just strikes you, this is what I'm wrestling with. Second thing that was very helpful to me was I used a study Bible. If you don't have a study Bible, I'd encourage you to get one because I found it very helpful. As you read through the Proverbs, you'll discover if you have a study Bible that oftentimes in the footnotes, the people who wrote them will give you other proverbs that speak to the same issue, or they'll actually interpret the proverb for you. I don't always agree with what they say, but it gives me a starting point when I kind of bump my head up against something I don't understand. So I would encourage you, if you don't have a study Bible, it's a worthwhile investment to make in your spiritual life, and I found it personally beneficial. And the last thing I would say that you need to do is then once you've looked at it, reflected on it, maybe even memorized it, synthesize it. In other words, say, what's going on here? By synthesizing, just analyze it and ask yourself, what is Solomon, or what is this writer saying? Because you can't really apply what you don't understand, so figure that out. And I'll tell you that some of the Proverbs are very challenging. Some of them, like the dog and his vomit and the sluggard in his bed, they're not hard to understand. It's just saying, okay, what does that have to say to me? What do I need to do differently as a result? But if you just read it and get grossed out by it, it won't do you much good. But if you say, okay, what this means is I need to do this. So understand it and apply it. This is a book that has incredible relevance to all of us. And as I said at the outset, I thought about this book and thought about going through it now because I know a few of you will be heading off to college soon. And this would be a great thing to be kind of plugging into your thinking as you're heading off to college. In fact, you know, there are all kinds of schools out there. Colleges, secondary schools, elementary schools. There are all kinds of different ways to learn, but not every school is really all that good. And then there's some schools that are really good, but you can't afford to get into them or you don't pass the admission test. And yet, this book gives us a school that teaches us wisdom to live by, and it's absolutely free. Above its doors, it says, "Welcome the young, the simple, the wise." If you enroll in this school of instruction, it helps make simple people more sophisticated, fools into wise men and women, and helps the wise to grow even wiser. That's a course that's worth enrolling in. Let's pray together. Lord God, I pray that each of us would allow ourselves to enroll in this school for the next few weeks. Whether we're back here in this church next week or off someplace else, may we be encouraged to take the book of Proverbs with us and to learn from what it has to say to us so we can be wise. And Lord, I pray that our church, I pray that the young people of our church and the older people of our church might be wise and grow wiser still. Thank you for your words and your instruction to us. In Jesus' name, amen.